chapter 2 be our starting verse. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and 20 may very well be a very familiar verse to you. It says this. Paul writes and he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let's pray together. Father, as we take a look at the scriptures together this morning, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who opens the eyes of our understanding and who imparts spiritual truth to our minds and our hearts. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit and the ministry of the Word today. We pray, Father, that we would all be encouraged as you speak to each one of us individually through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to try to finish the message we started for you last week. We began a sermon, and Ed talked about New Year's resolutions, and that's what we began to talk about last week, New Year's resolutions. And I shared with you a couple of New Year's resolutions that I believe the Lord wants us to make and indeed wants to help us keep. We're talking about making some resolutions that will change our lives, help us to be different so that being different, we can make a difference and we can live a life that will really count for something in this world today. And we talked about the typical resolutions that people make about various things, you know, about losing weight or eating more healthily, or, you know, Christians make the resolution, we're going to read my Bible through in a year, and all of those kinds of things that are all good. All those are good resolutions to make. But what happens often is that we get a couple of weeks into the new year and, you know, we splurge one weekend and begin to eat a lot of things we shouldn't eat, and we get discouraged that we're not losing weight, and so we give up on the whole idea of eating healthily and all of those kinds of things. Or reading the Bible, we get, you know, Genesis we can do pretty good with. We get to the book of Exodus and there are a lot of details about a lot of things in there, and sometimes we get bogged down with our reading and we think, I'm not getting anything out of this, and we quit reading our Bibles. And I just want to encourage you today. First of all, as Ed was talking about the calendar, I don't know why it is that we have locked in on that January 1st as the day when all new things must begin. Because the truth of the matter is, every day is a new opportunity for you and I to start life all over. Do you realize that? A lot of times we stumble and we fall and we think, well, I've blown it. What the heck? I'll just trash the whole idea of trying to be any different than what I am. But the Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, the writer tells us there, Jeremiah tells us there, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And the mercies of God never come to an end. They're new every morning. New every morning. God's mercy is new every morning. And that tells me that every day can be a brand new opportunity for me to get up and make the effort to get my life together and live the way that God intended for me to live. Now, the secret to that, guys, is learning how to live our lives out of relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says here in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So the secret then of living the overcoming Christian life is learning how to live our lives out of a fellowship and walk with God and drawing upon His strength to do the things that He wants for me to do. So we shared with you a couple of things last week, and I hope we can get through it all this week. It's going to be tough, but we're going to all endure. Amen? Amen? All right. We're going to get to the end of this thing one way or the other, maybe a week or two, but we're going to get there. Let me just start with the first resolution that I shared that I shared with you last week and give you just a little a refresher on the first two that we shared with you last week. I'm going to give you five resolutions that we can make in this new year that will change our life and help us to live more faithfully for the Lord. All right. Now, we could have given any number of things, so many things we could have included as New Year's resolutions. Five just seems to be a good number that fits in a sermon. Five is a number that, If people who are into Bible numbers and things like that say that 5 is the number of grace, and so we need grace to do these things. And so we'll look at 5 of these things this morning. The first one we talked about last week is this idea of living, truly living by our faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I've crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Please want you to notice something. The Bible tells us it's not enough just to have faith. We're supposed to live by faith. Romans 1 and 17, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so living by faith, and we identified it last week to say to you that living by faith means we're going to make a decision that in this new year, we're going to be consciously aware of the presence of God. We're going to make a decision to become more spiritually minded and aware of the presence of the Lord. And we're going to learn to lean on God and lean on His wisdom and direction rather than living by our own wits, living out of our own strength and trying to make the best of things as best we know how. We're going to trust in the Lord. It means we're going to make a decision to be more positive. People who are people of faith ought to be a positive people. Because God loves us and He wants to take care of us and bless us in so many different ways. And we ought to be a positive people who are expecting to see God manifest in their lives in some kind of way. So we're going to be positive, we're going to be hopeful, and we're going to expect to experience the favor of the Lord as we learn to live by faith and not just say we have faith. And by the way, how many of you know there's a difference between having faith in God and believing God? There are two different things between believing in God and believing God. All of us, hopefully, we believe in God. We believe in the existence of the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Him as a being. But not all of us believe Him. And what I mean by that is we don't take Him at His word. We don't believe the promises are true. We don't believe God will do things in our life. One of the things that's implied by living in faith means we're going to be a people of prayer. Because how many of you know, if you really believe God will answer prayer, you'll be a praying person. Listen, guys, let's just be honest today. One of the primary reasons that we don't pray any more than we do is we don't believe God's going to answer our prayers. Because if we really believed it, we'd be a whole lot more faithful to pray over our lives and to pray and to worship and to pray for other people and all of these kinds of things. So to live by faith means we're going to, first of all, if we're going to believe God, we've got to know what He says, don't we? So we need to get into the Word. We need to know what the Bible says. We need to believe that what He says is true and what He promises He will bring to pass in our life. As a result, we're going to pray more because we're believing more. Prayer. Why is it that prayer for most of us is a last resort? Isn't it? Let's be honest this morning. We get some kind of difficulty, something goes bad in our life, and we try to figure out how we're going to fix it. And we work as hard as we can, as long as we can, to try to fix the problem ourselves. And then when the problem doesn't get fixed and things get worse instead of better, we don't know what to do. And we run here and we run there and we look for all kind of answers and all kind of help. And then when nothing works, we think, well, we've tried everything else. I guess we ought to pray. And prayer is a last resort a lot of times for many of us. And the truth of the matter is, guys, listen, instead of being a last resort, it ought to be our first impulse to pray. To pray when we have needs. To pray when things are going on in our lives. Number one, the resolution of 2016, we're going to live by faith. As we said last week, you know, most of us live so comfortably in this world. We're so blessed. We don't really have to trust God on a day-to-day basis for things in our life. Things are good. Things are great. We've got all we need. And we need to learn to trust the Lord even in those times. Because let me tell you something. I guarantee you the time will come in all of our lives, no matter how good we've got it right now, I guarantee you, because see, the enemy is determined to make a mess of your life. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I guarantee you, no matter how good you may have it right now, time will come at some point in your journey through life where you'll need to know how to really trust God and believe God to hang in there and to make it through what you're going through and overcome. And so the best time to learn how to trust the Lord is now rather than waiting till we get in the midst of the crisis. Second resolution we shared with you last week. First of all, we're going to live by faith. The second one was we're going to walk in love. We're going to learn to love everybody all the time. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible tells us that we are to, as children of God, we are to imitate God and love as God loves. And that means simply loving everybody all the time. There's no picking and choosing here, guys. There's no picking and choosing. You know, these people are my friends. These people I get along with. These people look out for me. I'm going to love them. Or these people that are not so nice. And these people that are always saying something that just gets under my skin. It's hard to love. How many of you know it's hard to love everybody? But the truth of the matter is, if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the living God dwells within you to give you the ability to do everything God instructs us to do. Do you understand that? That there is nothing that God asks us to do that he doesn't also give us the ability to do it. See? That's why the psalmist said, I rejoice in your law. I rejoice in your commandments because they're life to me. The psalmist knew whatever God was commanding him to do, God was going to give him the ability to do it by his Holy Spirit. So when God says, love everybody all the time, just as I have loved you, he has given us, in the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, he has given us the capacity to love everybody all the time. It's just a matter of us making the choice to do that. We have defined love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as being patient, as showing kindness and mercy, as being caring and forgiving, not holding a grudge, not being bitter, all of these things. Did you know, by the way, if you make a decision that you're going to walk in the love of God and you lean on the Spirit of the Lord to give you that love and you walk in love with everybody, did you know that it is virtually impossible for you to ever be offended by anybody if you're walking in love? Let me show you a scripture for that real quickly in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I think it's like verse 167. I'm sorry. Psalm 119, verse 165. The psalmist says, those who love your law, your commandments, your instruction, those who love your law have great peace. And nothing causes them to stumble. Your translation may say, nothing causes them to be offended. You just can't be offended. When you're loving people, you can't be offended by people. Why? Because you're always forgiving people. You're always showing kindness to people. You're always giving them the benefit of the doubt. We said last week that one of the characteristics of love is that love hopes all things. Love is willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, you see. And so if you're really walking in love with people, when they say things that are mean and cruel, your heart is to love them in return. Your heart is to give them the benefit of, well, they're probably just having a bad day. You know, a lot of times people say things, what they say and the way they say it, because they're having a bad day. Or they're having a bad life. I don't know. But it's just, you know, life has just kind of dumped on them, and so they just dump on you. See? And I think sometimes if we would just be more aware of the things that other people may possibly be going through, it would help us to be able to look at them with the eyes of love that God gives us for them, and to give them the benefit of the doubt when they say things or do things that just aggravates the daylights out of them. But we're called by God to love people all the time, to love everybody all the time. And He's given us the capacity by the Spirit of the Lord to love everybody all the time. It's what God wants for us as His children. Third resolution, number three. The first two actually will lead to this and really the rest of the things I want to share. Living by faith, walking in love. These two resolutions are the first one. Leads me to resolution number three, and it's this. Let's be resolved in 2016 that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to make the decision to choose a path of holy living as believers in the Lord. When you're walking in love, listen, the Bible says that love is the fulfillment of all the law. So when we're walking in love, walking in holiness, we're not going to be offending God by living carnally, by living selfishly, by living materialistically, and all the other lusts of the flesh that we typically have as human beings. When we're walking in love, we're not going to do these things. But let's make the decision that we're going to live a life. The Bible calls it, in fact, let me just read for you. The Bible calls it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It alludes to it as what we might call a separated life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers." He's talking here about your associations, the people you run with, the people that you hang with, the people that you're intimate with, okay? And he's telling us something about the relationships that we have. And it's this. In 1 Corinthians, Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians, he says that bad company corrupts good morals. So we need to be careful of the company that we keep. Because the people that we're running around with and hanging around with are people that are influencing our lives. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so one man his friend. Put it simply, we tend to rub off on each other. We tend to rub off on each other. And the people that you're hanging around with rub off on you. And you rub off on them. And if the people that you're hanging around with are not people of godly character and intent, let's just say it that way, they're going to rub off on you in a negative way. And Paul tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. And so he tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light and darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial," who's the devil? "And what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" Verse 16, he begins to quote from the Old Testament. He says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their people, be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst." He's calling us as the people of God to come out from the communion, the fellowship, the intimacy of people who are godless and not desiring to live a life that serves God. He says, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean." And then there's promise for that. God says, if you'll come out from the world, if you'll separate yourself from people who are leading you and living the wrong way, He says, if you'll separate yourself from people like that, He says in verse 17, "I will welcome you and I will be a father to you." A lot of us are not experiencing that father heart and that father love of God. And it's because we haven't separated ourselves from the things of the world. And in the church today, you know, it's sad that in the church today, we have so lowered our standards and so compromised our morals to the place where when you put people together who call themselves Christian, and you see that group, and then you have another group over here that doesn't affiliate with Christianity in any kind of way, they're just people of the world,
It's sad that we've gotten to the place where you almost can't tell the groups apart because they look alike. Because the people who are supposed to have separated themselves from all that are still living in it. And, you know, there are a lot of us and there are a lot of things. The real shame is that you, today's church, you even actually have to delineate and you have to explain sin. Because we don't know. Yeah, in the church today, so many people are not aware of the fact that you know, any form of sexual experience outside of the marriage relationship is forbidden by God. It just is. And there are all kinds of reasons for it. We could go into it. There are all kinds of psychological and emotional reasons that God establishes these laws. And it's for our own good, you see. But whether it's fornication, premarital sex, whether it's adultery, whether it's homosexual, any kind of sexual relationship outside of the marriage, the union of two people in marriage before God, is forbidden by God. And so many people in the church don't even understand that because we've fallen so far and we look so much like the world. We need to separate ourselves so that we can experience the Father heart of God. And the love and the joy that God has for us as His people. Edge quoted the scripture for us already today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. He's talking about a new nature. He's talking about a new lifestyle, a new way of living that helps us open the door to heaven and experience the blessings of heaven that God has for us in this lifetime. Boy, I promise you, if you read your Bible, you will find so many places where God tells us that He wants to shower and lavish His favor upon us. And His grace upon us. And God wants to be so good and kind to us. But when we choose to walk in the things and the ways of the world, we cut ourselves off from God. It's not, listen, I promise you, it's not that God's running from you. It's that we've turned our back on God. The Bible says in the book of James that if we make, in chapter 4, the Bible says, if we make ourselves friends with the world, we are making ourselves an enemy of God. It's not that God chooses to be against us. God loves us. He's for us and He's on our side. But when we choose to walk the other way, then we've made ourselves an enemy where God is concerned. And so we need to learn as believers, we need to learn to discern between right and wrong. That too is why we've been getting, well, what do we call Him? We call Him the Holy Spirit. And He wants to lead us into a holy lifestyle. It's one of the reasons we have the Spirit of God, to give us the wisdom and the mind of the Lord and to show us how to live properly in this life. That's why we have the Word of God, to teach us what's right and what's wrong. And we need to make the decision. You know, in this year, I'm going to surrender. That's our theme song for the year. I surrender. I'm going to surrender my life into the hands of God. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have control. That is technically what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You hear that phrase a lot in charismatic churches, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to allow the Holy Spirit to have control of your life. And we're going to make that decision. The Holy Spirit's going to have control so that He's going to lead me in, listen, thank you, Lord. Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I promise you, brother and sister, if you're walking a path of greed or lust or selfishness or bitterness or any of those kind of things, you ain't walking with God. God's not leading you down that path. See, we've gotten on the wrong path. We've made the wrong choices. And so for 2016, let's say, hey, God, we want to do it your way. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, love not the world nor the things of the world, because all of that nonsense is passing away. Just love God. Just hold on to Jesus. Love the Lord. And God will take you down the right path. And again, sometimes that means we're going to have to separate ourselves from some of the people we've been hanging with. But I tell you what, you make a decision. If you will make a decision, because this is happening to me, if you will make a decision that you're going to walk with God in this new year, and you're going to live a life of holiness in this new year, you probably won't have to choose to separate yourself from too many of those people, because they're going to separate themselves from you. You choose to walk with God, and you won't go the places where you used to go, and you won't say the things that you used to say, and you won't do the things that you used to. They'll wonder why, and pretty soon they'll wander off, and they'll probably separate themselves from you. But we have to be willing. Here's my point. We have to be willing to let people and things like that go. We have to be willing to let them go in order to lay hold of the things of God for our life. And again, we have the ability. It's been given to us by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to live that way. We're going to live by faith. We're going to walk in love. We're going to choose holiness. That leads me to the fourth resolution of 2016. We're going to make a decision. Listen, in 2016, we're going to make a decision to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, if you're doing 1, 2, and 3, you're probably already doing number 4. Okay? Because if you're living by faith, here's what happens. When we live by faith and we really begin to trust in the Lord and depend on God, the door to heaven becomes open to us and God begins to lavish His favor in our lives. God begins to do good things for us. He gives us strength to overcome certain things. He meets our needs in sometimes supernatural ways. Listen to what's happening. Every time God does something like that for you in your life, He is giving you a testimony, something that you can share with somebody else to tell them about the Lord and why you love the Lord and serve Him the way that you do. The Bible says that we need to always be ready to give a defense for the hope that's within us. And every time God does something in our life as a response to our faith in Him, it just gives us another testimony and something else we can share with people who are not walking with God to tell them why we've chosen to live our life for the Lord. When you choose that path of holiness. I had a friend of mine a number of years ago, a guy I used to run around with in high school and got into trouble with in high school and those kind of things. And when I got out of high school, my life went in the direction of the Lord. Most of you know, Becky and I got married a year out of high school, another year or two later, and we came to a true knowledge of the Lord and began to serve the Lord. And so our lives, my life went a completely different direction from this friend that we're real close to in high school and doing things you shouldn't be doing, that kind of stuff. And his life went a different direction. And a few years later, he was in, I believe there's a correctional institution down in Richmond area, Goochland or someplace like that. And he was down there. He had been messed up with drugs and stuff like that. And so I went down to see him. And I just wanted to let him know that I loved him, that I cared about him, that we were there for anything we could do to help him. And he couldn't understand. He said, how did our lives get so different? Because I tell you, they weren't different in high school. Okay? They weren't. But God took my life in a different direction, and this guy went the other way. And he couldn't, why did our paths go so, how did our lives come out so differently? And I had the opportunity to express, I mean, ask the question, got to answer it, right? I had the opportunity to tell him that the difference that had been made in my life was the difference that Christ had made in my life. Because I had made a difference, because I had made a decision to walk with the Lord, God had changed my life. And I was a different person. Lived a different way. So when God blesses you and things happen in your life, it gives you an opportunity. When you walk in love, we're talking about walk in love. When we're walking in love, we're looking for ways to encourage other people. We're looking for ways to be a blessing to other people. One of the things about love is you're looking to make somebody else's life better. Not just make your own life better. When you're living for yourself, you're just looking to make your own life better. But when you walk with God and you walk in love, you want to make somebody else's life better. You want to bless them and encourage them. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. It says, a man's gift will make room for him. And what that means is, when you give something, you probably have experienced this, when you give something to somebody, their heart will typically be open then to listen to things that you've got to say. Your gift really will make room in somebody else's life. Now, the point of giving is not manipulation. That's not what I'm saying at all. But when we make the decision to walk in love with people, and we forgive people, and we bless people, and we show mercy and kindness and compassion to people, that gift of mercy often will open their heart to receive what you've got to say. That's what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. He says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We do good works for the glory of the Lord, not to manipulate anybody or not for the praise of men. We do good works. We bless people. We give. We support. We do things to encourage other people. And when that light shines and people see it, it often opens their heart to anything you want to share with them. So living by faith, choosing the way of holiness, walking in love. If we're doing these things, our life will be a witness. In fact, one of the reasons that we don't witness often is because we're afraid we don't know how. We don't know exactly what to say. We're intimidated. We're afraid we don't know enough theology or Bible to really witness to people. You know, the truth of the matter is you don't have to know a lot of Bible to be a witness for Jesus. You just need to love Jesus. And when you love Jesus and you love people, it's attractive to them. And they'll ask you why. And again, you don't have to know a lot of theology. You just tell them, Jesus has changed my life. And I know He can change you. I know He loves you too. And He can change your life too. So making the decision to do these things. Now, there needs to be that time and place where we tell people about the Lord. That's important. But again, we don't have to know a lot of theology to do that. I love the story in 1 John where Philip has an encounter with Jesus. And he knows He's the Messiah. And he goes and he meets a man named Nathanael. And he says, hey man, you need to come and meet this Jesus of Nazareth. You need to meet this guy. We have found, this is the way he puts it. He says, we have found the one that Moses and the prophets spoke about, the Messiah of God. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael was skeptical. Nazareth, the city of Nazareth in those days, had a lousy reputation. And so his response to Philip, Nathanael's response to Philip was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He is skeptical that this Jesus could really be the Messiah of God. And I love Philip's response. He didn't try to argue with him. He didn't try to debate with him. He didn't quote a lot of scripture to him to try to prove anything to him. All he said was this. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Guys, that's all we need to do. We need to love people enough to care about whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. How can we, oh Lord, how can we say we love people and watch them on a pathway to hell and not tell them about Jesus? How is that the love of God? Yeah, we need to do it in a loving way, but we need to do it. We need to do it. I'll tell you what you can be a witness to people is just by inviting people to church. Just invite people to church. Come worship with me on Sunday morning. When you invite people to church, the very simple fact that you invited people to church says something to the one you've invited. It says to them, church is important to this person. God is important. God is a priority in this person's life. Just merely inviting people to church can be a way of witnessing for the Lord. And it can be a way of opening the door for further spiritual discussion about the things of God. And we shouldn't get discouraged. Listen, We shouldn't get discouraged. I realize that, that we all hate rejection, don't we? Nobody likes to be rejected. One of the reasons we don't witness is because we don't want to be rejected. Had enough of that in my life. I don't need any more rejection. But listen, when you're witnessing for Jesus, when you're inviting people to church, please understand that any rejection is not really a rejection of you anyway. It's a rejection of the Lord. But even more than that, listen, sometimes, I mean, they rejected Jesus, they'll reject us, right? But sometimes when you invite people to church, you invite somebody that first time, you may just be planting a seed that first time. And sometimes that seed needs to be cultivated. We need to, you know, to continue to encourage. Invite them again. You don't have to nag them to death, but just invite them. Be faithful to invite them to church. Now, obviously, it's their choice whether they come or not. But listen, your job as a Christian is not to drag people to church or to get people saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is, we have the easy part. Our job is just to tell people about Jesus. It's God's part from there out, whether they come to church, whether they worship the Lord, whether they come to know Christ, whatever. That's the Holy Spirit's job from that point on. So let's make a decision. 2016 is going to be the year I start inviting people to church with me. Come worship the Lord. 2016 is the year that I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let me share one more with you real quick. My time is almost gone. And I'll make this one real brief. This is the fifth resolution for 2015, and it's simply this. In 2016, almost a year behind, aren't I? In 20, they go by so fast. The older you get, the faster they go. Oh, dear Jesus. They really do. In 2016, we're going to make a decision that we're going to live with a thankful heart. And we're going to be a grateful people. How many of you know human nature is to look at what you don't have and gripe and complain about it instead of looking at what you do have and being thankful for it? And you know, just looking around this room here today, we're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. Most of us have got more junk than we know what to do with. Most of us don't even know half the junk we've got. And we live, listen, I understand that the United States of America has a lot of problems. But we still, to this day, we have the privilege of living in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And we should be thankful for the liberty and the freedoms that we have in our nation. We need to be a thankful people. We started the service this morning by talking about entering His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let me give you just real quick a couple of scriptures to close this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." And then Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. Always rejoice. How many of you know if you're always rejoicing, you don't have time to be griping and complaining? Rejoice. Rejoice. "Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We need to be a thankful people because we are abundantly blessed in every way. Five resolutions for the new year. I guarantee they'll change your life. Live by faith. Walk in love. Choose holiness. Be a witness. And be thankful. Let's pray together. And Father, we are thankful and we do give you thanks today. for your faithfulness and your goodness to us every day of our journey through life. Thank you that you are with us today, Father. And though many of us are facing great struggles, trials and tests, great adversity, our enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come to aggravate, frustrate, make us mad, and turn us away from you. God, we make a decision today that we're going to set our mind on you. We're going to believe that you are good. We're going to trust in you. We expect, Father, for you to take care of our lives. Give us wisdom. Show us the way of escape of our difficulties. Give us strength until victory comes. Help us to always honor you in the way that we're living. Father, we believe that it is your will for us to live by faith. Walk in love. Choose the way of holiness to be a witness for Jesus and always be thankful. So we ask you, Father, by the might of your Holy Spirit who lives mightily within us, Father, will you help us? Will you produce this fruit in our lives as we surrender to you and let you have control of our lives? Thank you for your love today, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness to watch over us, care for and provide for us, to meet our every need, to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us hope, indeed to be our hope. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's stay in an attitude of prayer and just stand together for just a moment real quickly as we bring our service to a close this morning. Stand quietly with me if you would please and just in an attitude of prayer. For us, it's all about the decision. The work is God's, but the decision is ours. The choice is ours. To walk with God or live like the world. But today is a new day. And though we have stumbled in the past and we have made mistakes in the past, today is a new day and a brand new opportunity to set things right and to get things right. It's our choice. It's our decision. God is the strength of our life to make it all happen. We just need to decide to let Him have His way and let Him have control so that He can do what He wants to do and really what only He can do. To help us live that better life that experiences the favor, the blessing of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that you've given to me today to share the word of the Lord and the message that I believe you've laid on my heart for this Sunday morning. I pray and trust, Father, that the word has been delivered and hearts have received the seed of your incorruptible word that will produce abundant fruit in our lives if we will simply yield to it.
And so, Father, I commit this church family, this congregation, our guests, our friends, our family here today. I commit them all into your hands for you to have your way in their hearts and in their lives as they make that decision to serve Jesus as Lord every day. Thank you, Father, for the difference you will make in every heart and every life, for the change that will take place, for the different people that we will become, and for the difference that we can then make in somebody else's life as we live a life that counts for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Typically at our church, last Sunday we did things a little differently with the prayer time that we had for people actually as the service concluded. Typically what we do at our church is when a service is over, we invite you, if you have a personal need in your life, to stick around and let us pray with you personally about those needs. We're glad to do that every Sunday. We'll sing a song of dismissal, and those that need to go and need to be on their way, they can leave. And I'll just say again today that if you have a personal need, that we can pray with you about something, about anything in your life. We're more than happy to do that with you today if you'll stay around after the service. Let's sing and be dismissed and thankful to the Lord. Let's sing together. In your presence, in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in. If we can pray with you about anything, make your way to the front. We'll be there in just a moment. Otherwise, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord.